Let us pray. Take my lips, O Lord, and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them ablaze with your love. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. The King is more gracious than we could ever hope for or imagine. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet. And a wedding is supposed to be an occasion of joy, love, and celebration. But in a Game of Thrones-like fashion, the wedding in this parable does not go according to plan. Death, arson, and exile overshadow what is supposed to be a happy occasion. When we hear this parable, it can sound like the kingdom of heaven is ruled by a king who burns cities down to cinders when he is dishonored, and who hogties his house guests for dress code violations. Any kingdom ruled by a sovereign so capricious seems far from heavenly. And yet, the king is more gracious than we could ever hope for or imagine. As St. Matthew records this parable of Jesus, he is trying to make sense of his own time. The king, of course, is God, and the wedding banquet for the Son is the salvation offered through Jesus Christ. And the original guests invited to this party are none other than the people of Israel, God's chosen people. You see, Israel had agreed to come to the party, but when the day had arrived, they disregarded both the invitations of the Hebrew prophets of old and the Christian missionaries of Matthew's own time. Some of these they even abused and killed. But Israel's violence only begets more violence. Because they had rejected the peaceable way of Jesus, they opened themselves up to the violence of Rome's armies. And when Jerusalem burns in AD 70, it appears as though God had revoked his invitation. And yet, the king is more gracious than we could ever hope for or imagine. That wedding hall refuses to be left empty. So God issues a new invitation. And this one is meant for all who heed the call, whether Jew or Gentile. A party once open to only a few is now open to all, regardless of status or merit. And for Matthew, the party is the church. But he has noticed that some of the guests have not arrived dressed for the occasion. There are some who have refused to put on a wedding robe. And these robes are none other than the good works of a person who lives according to the way of Jesus, the apparel of a true disciple. Those trying to sneak into the party without one will eventually find themselves cast out from it. And yet, the king is more gracious than we could ever hope for or imagine. By the cultural standards of Jesus' time, the conduct of the king in this parable would have been extraordinary. In a world accustomed to party hosts issuing only two invitations, God sends a third. The king is gracious. In a world accustomed to kings punishing those who refused them, God is patient even when his invitation is spurned. The king is gracious. In a world accustomed to cities being exterminated for the offenses of their governors, God surrenders only the murderers in the city up to their own violence. The king is gracious. In a world accustomed to the social elite receiving preferential treatment, God issues his invitation to those even in the streets. The king is gracious. And in a world accustomed to kings giving their guests wedding robes at the door, God approaches those who have refused to wear what he has provided as a friend. The king is gracious. Where you and I might see a cruel tyrant, Jesus' listeners would have seen a king of unprecedented grace. The parable may not paint a perfect portrait of God, but it points us in the right direction. The king is more gracious than we could ever hope for or imagine. When Jesus says, "Many are called, but few are chosen," He says so standing amidst overturned tables in the temple courts of Jerusalem, the very center of all that it had historically meant to belong to God's chosen people. In the midst of God's gracious invitation and re-invitation, our former notions of election are abolished and a new one takes its place. God chooses those who choose him. That is to say that God's election is an affirmation of our own choice, whether it be for him or against him. The king is more gracious than we could ever hope for or imagine. In the parable of the wedding banquet, God is gracious at every step along the way, and it is precisely because of his grace that God surrenders the religious establishment in Jerusalem up to their spiritual coup d'etat, and also surrenders the false disciple up to his greater desire for the outer darkness. If you and I get caught up in misplaced moral outrage when we see the blood-stained city burning, or when we see the ill-attired guest cast out, we blind ourselves to what is really going on in the background of this parable. An untold multitude enjoying the lavished feast, adorned in elegant white robes, provided courtesy of the king. Our modern sensibilities may initially revolt against this parable, but I am convinced that if we wrestle with it long enough, it will eventually bless us. When we have let our knee-jerk apprehensions subside, we will discover a king who is more gracious than we could ever hope for or imagine. But how do we respond to this king of grace? If we take seriously the call of God in our lives, then the only response is to accept the invitation and to don a wedding robe. And if you are here in this room this morning, then you have already accepted the invitation. And we are all here. But what does it look like to put on a wedding robe? As St. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, whatever is excellent and worthy of praise, let us put on these things, for these are the apparel of a true disciple. And we need not worry about stitching together our own robes by our own efforts, for these robes are provided to us by God when we walk through the door. We need only choose to put them on, and God in his grace will affirm our choice. Unprecedented grace. That is what God is like. That is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And for all of us gathered here this morning, partaking in this banquet, celebrating this meal of grace, we are all recipients of an undeserved invitation. So let us attend this feast as the king's welcomed guests, and let us consider carefully how we might dress for the occasion. Amen.